Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. And I want you to know it's an honor and a pleasure for me to be with you. It is an honor because my faith exists because this faith community exists. And so I just want to tell you, to encourage you to keep living out your faith. That if your joy in this church is to pray, then keep praying. And if it is to testify to God's glory in your life, then keep doing that. And when I stepped in, I have so many memories flooding in. And then memories turn into stories, stories turn into testimonials. I can't help but just to think back my times here. And for a moment, I start to realize why Paul would speak to his churches the way that he did. Just, you know, far apart, but full of passion for one another. But I also realized that in God's design, there's a time for everything. And while there's so much I wish to speak to each of you about this church, this community, I have a mission here this morning. It's really very simply to proclaim God's word with you so that we together may trust in God, our Lord in heaven. So would you join me in a moment of prayer that we just devote ourselves to the Lord and trust in him? Father in heaven, it is true that you always hear our prayer in the name of Jesus, that your will be done, that you will respond and you will answer us. This morning, I pray, Lord, that your spirit will flow, that we receive your word, that our worries, our concerns, our troubles may melt away even for just a moment, and that you will be with us, that we draw near to you. Guide us, Lord. Guide us to give you praise. Guide us to give you thanks. You are a mighty God. You are a mighty, mighty God. In your eyes, there's nothing impossible. So, Father, I pray that you will increase and that we may decrease. Lord, I pray and ask that your word may shine. Reveal your truth to us. Shine in a way that darkness cannot hold back. I give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm preaching from John 11 this morning. And this text describes Lazarus being raised from the dead. Each of the four Gospels in the New Testament all have one thing in common. While they share many similarities in terms of language, style, theology, people involved, events recorded, all four canonized gospel in the Bible were written to answer one question. Who is Jesus? And if Jesus is indeed the Son of God, how do we know that Jesus really is the Son of God? So the Gospel of John features a very unique event during the ministry of Jesus. There are 21 chapters, and right around the midsection, 11th chapter in the middle, many words were devoted at great length to tell us how Jesus raised Lazarus to life again after he died, thereby culminating the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God who is able to even raise the dead. And so as a reader in the Gospel of John, by halfway mark, you should be asking the right question. Who is this Jesus? How could he even raise the dead? And then what am I supposed to do in response? And so Jesus called out Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come out! And then out he came alive, still wrapped up in bindery meant for a corpse, but now living, walking out of his tomb. Oh, what a blessed voice it must be for any man or woman to hear God's voice to say, your name? And then just say, come out and rise. Can you sense it? Can you ever sense it? You must come to life in the spirit to know God is speaking to you. And when God calls to you, you must respond. His voice is able to even raise the dead to life. Oh, I pray that you Christians listen to the voice of God and hear it well. And for us to know that Jesus did not exercise his own power to raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus prayed before performing this miracle. to point out that it was not his own power, but his power from Father in heaven. And so Jesus prayed to the Father in heaven with a prayer of thanksgiving. Here's the text. And here's the supplement text. Chapter 12, a chapter later. Jesus said, I have spoken not of my own authority, but the Father who sent me, himself given me commandment to do what I do and to say what I say. And I know his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. To demonstrate to us that Jesus did not exercise his own power, but the Father in heaven who speaks and acts through him. A prayer of thanksgiving invites the power of God. And so in the moment before raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. Today I would like to focus on three different things that Jesus said leading up to his thanksgiving prayer, which reveal the power of God in thereby raising Lazarus from the dead. And so from looking at this text for a moment, we can learn from Jesus how to thank God the way Jesus did. Number one, Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And this is Jesus speaking to Martha, the sister to Lazarus. And I would divide my focus on verse 40 here in two parts. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? As in, did I not tell you? And subsequently, as do you believe? As in, do you believe what I have spoken? Do you believe what Jesus has said so that you may see the glory of God? See, prayer must be true about who God is. And so a thanksgiving prayer must be spoken from a heart believing in who God is based on what God has spoken of himself. This is the opening point. About what Jesus had spoken to Martha about. Do you believe what I have told you about who God is? And I have told you already, in a sense, the same. When Jesus prayed, he said, Father. It wasn't like a phrase like my Father or our Father in heaven. It was just Father, like dad. Like, it's an expression where there is any relational and emotional attachment to this opening address. Many people in North American society today are aware of the fact. In fact, chances are many neighbors down the street of yours are aware of the fact that God of the Christian faith is known as the Father in heaven, but not everyone relate to God like a son and daughter to him. In fact, many do not live or behave or speak or talk or act in manner befitting to be a child of God, as though God is a father to them. And so knowing God as a father is one thing, but to really relate and belong with God like a father and son or father and daughter, that's a completely different reality. Suppose a boy runs away from his father and that a father abuses or even abandons his son. Both of these men know for a fact that they are father and son. But unless the father loves the son with words on his lips and tender hearts that drives him to care, and unless the son responds in a loving obedience and a trust towards the father, then the fact simply remains as a fact rather than a relationship. A friend of mine has a daughter, 7-year-old, and recently I've just been spending time with them. And every time I spend time with this family, this little girl, 7-year-old, and she would just be asking for her dad, Dad, brush my hair. Dad, bring my bicycle. Dad, I want to watch his TV. And then this dad would go, okay, and do this and do this. Right. And then in there, I see this father with a loving service as a father to help this child who just so plainly trust in her father. I tell you, when this little girl, one day she will mature and grow up. And someday she will grow up, and when she addresses her father, her emphasis will no longer be on the hairbrush or the bicycle or whatever that she may ask. One day this little girl will grow up and mature and place the emphasis on the father and saying, Dad, whom she has known her whole life to be reliable, trustworthy, gentle, and patient. When you pray to the Lord, where is your emphasis? When you pray to the Lord, where is your emphasis? Have you believed everything Jesus has said about who God is as a father to you? A prayer of thanksgiving begins from believing in what God has already spoken of about himself. Believing in it, trusting it. You can always be confident about your prayer that it is heard by God, received by God, when you pray according to what God has spoken of himself in the Bible. Bit of a word spaghetti. Let me try again. Whatever God has spoken of himself, you can pray accordingly. That if God has said that he is faithful, you can pray that, Lord, you are faithful and I trust in you. When God says, I am the Lord, I'm the God of all powers, God of all gods, you can pray that, you can be confident that prayer will be well received and well heard, because this is what God has spoken of himself. So pray from what God has spoken and believe in it. Number two, demonstrate your faith in prayer. Jesus said, I knew that you always hear me. This is what Jesus said. I knew that you always hear me. The past tense in this phrase is no accident. That Jesus has always knew and trusted God, listens to his prayer. This confession of Jesus is the kind that says, it's not the kind that says, well, now I know. Well, because I have experienced God, I have heard the stories, well, now I know. No, this is not that kind of expression. This is Jesus saying, I have always known, I have always trusted in you. I have never doubted you, I always knew that you hear me. Well, this is because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Word of God made into flesh as a person, that's Jesus. And Jesus is forever and has been in perfect communion with God the Father in heaven. In Jesus, there is no sin. In Jesus Christ, and Jesus has never left communion with the Father in heaven. Unlike Adam and Eve or their children or their sons and daughters who have sinned and departed, Jesus had never left the communion of God in heaven. And so in this profession, you see Jesus said, I always knew that you hear me. Now, this past tense here, I knew that you always hear me, actually is meant to juxtapose or contrast Martha's expression. In the same chapter, just a few phrases earlier. Let's see if I have it here. Right here. Because Martha didn't say, I knew. Martha said to Jesus here, I know that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. You see here, Martha is saying, I know that there will be the resurrection. That whoever, and so Jesus then said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he died, yet he shall live. Verse 27. And then she said, Jesus, yes, Lord, I believe. Oh, there is that expression. I believe what you have spoken. I believe that you are the Christ, you are the Son of God who is coming into this world. So there's this contrast where Jesus said, I knew that, Lord, you always hear my prayer. And then here's Martha saying, I know and I believe. Now, on my first reading here, this was very perplexing to me. How is it that Martha claimed that I know what will happen in the future? On the last day, in the resurrection of the dead. And then she would say, I believe that you are the Son of Jesus Christ who have come into this world. The first time I read that, I thought, should it be the other way around? That I believe what will happen in the future, that there will be the raising of the dead in the last day, and I know that you are right here. You already come. I'm looking at Jesus sitting right in front of me. I know that you are a Son of God coming into this world already. I was very surprised to find this. Martha's confession here is connected to a theme in the Gospel of John. The turnkey to unlock its meaning comes from chapter 4, verse 48. If I have it here. No, I don't have it here. So in chapter 4, Jesus said to the crowd of people that he was ministering to, he said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And so Jesus was facing people who, unless they see signs and wonders, they won't believe in God. And so when you come to the midpoint of the Gospel of John, Martha was being honored by the scripture writer as someone who even has not seen the signs or wonders yet and still believe. Lazarus was not yet raised in that moment. She was still a grieving sister, grieving for the death of a family. No signs, no wonders. Desperate but brave. To the extent, like, well, I am out of options. I have to believe. But I will believe. And so Martha believed in Jesus in this way. And as you know, the historical records shows us Jesus really did raise Lazarus from the dead. I should point out that the belief that Martha spoke of is a relational trust. And that I entrust my life into your hands. I trust you completely, wholeheartedly. I don't see all the signs. I don't see the wonders. And I'm desperate or broken, but I trust you. Or in Martha's case, she was really entrusting her whole family's life into God's hands. Because her brother Lazarus was dead. Oh, I speak especially to the men among us. Entrust your family into God's hands and trust in him. Martha was trusting her family's life into Jesus' hands. From Martha's point of view, Lazarus was probably too far gone. He was already dead. And their scripture went at lengthy details to describe that he really was dead. He was buried. There's a foul smell. Everybody showed up. Everybody saw it. And the heartbreak probably was very real. Lazarus was dead. Everyone was weeping. May I ask, what breaks your heart most for the gospel? Does it break your heart when you think on your family who still have not yet believed in Jesus, or the crimes and the sins of this world, or the neighborhoods they're yet to know knowledge about Jesus? When Martha's heart was broken, she turned her trust in God, and then God really delivered. Even a sign as wonderful as Lazarus being raised from the dead. If a good doctor says to you, I know you are in pain, but because of my treatment, report shows that your body is recovering. So even though in your body you may feel sickly ill, but you will still believe in the doctor's assessment. And a doctor will say, well, after continue this treatment, after 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, and then you'll recover. Even though your body may feel sickly ill, you will still believe in its doctor. And then in 3 months, 6 months' time, you look forward to the time that you may recover. You see, this is the kind of faith that Martha had. Martha, this woman's faith was exemplary to us. Desperate, but brave. Because her family was in grave danger, literally. But brave nonetheless, because she believed in God. That Martha believed in God in ways others around her at the time couldn't. Because in that time, Jesus was saying, unless you see signs, you won't believe. And here was Martha believing without the signs. Our evangelical conversations, whether with our families, communities, or around the church, or even strangers, isn't so much about proving for the belief or the existence of God, but rather to inspire trust, to connect a relationship. And Jesus demonstrated an even more pure faith. He has always known God and trusted in God. He never left. And if you ever had doubted or distant yourself from God, I encourage you, just return to the Lord. He's always ready to receive you. There's one thing about Martha that is similar to Jesus in this chapter, in the way they were presented. They both openly demonstrate their trust in God. Openly. To an extent, I may even say publicly, that as Jesus spoke to Martha, there are others who around who heard her in what she said. And then Jesus also prayed in a way that others listened. In fact, Jesus even prayed intentionally that others may hear the way Jesus spoke to the Father in heaven. And Martha said to Jesus, yes, I believe. And Jesus prays, and he said to God the Father, Father, I knew you always hear me. A thanksgiving prayer is an open prayer that is just transparent, a transparent faith for all to see. Number three, the prayer of Jesus is even... The thanksgiving prayer of Jesus is even missional. Jesus said, I've said this on the account of the people standing around. I said, I'm saying this for the sake of the people around me, so that they may also believe, so that they may also thank God the way that I may. Jesus prays out publicly that what he has always known about God. And especially true for those of you who has grown up in the faith, grown up in this church, and just living your whole life devoted to God, there is so much that you may know about God. Well, put that to prayer. And put that to prayer openly and even publicly. This is what Jesus would have done, so that others may believe. On this Thanksgiving weekend, I would encourage you, think on ways you may pray to demonstrate your faith, that others may believe. May I invite you to think, what are your Thanksgiving plans? Maybe with friends, maybe with families, and I just wish to bless you on that. How will you pray to God? How may they see your faith? Maybe they may even believe because of your faith in God. Same way here, Jesus prays so openly for others to see so that they may believe. Jesus always knew that God is always trustworthy. Jesus always knew that God always listened to his prayer. Jesus knew God was able to raise Lazarus to life. In fact, Jesus knew all this before even coming to the village of Bethany. But now Jesus prayed this thanksgiving outwardly to demonstrate what he believed, what he always knew, so that others may believe as well. For the sake of those who do not yet know God. that God is trustworthy and listens to prayer. And so coming back to my first point earlier, thanksgiving to God in a prayer invites His power. This has been my reflection in this chapter. Has it occurred to you that God has never had to confess His love for His people? God has nothing to hide. He doesn't have to confess. He professes it, proclaim it, to let you know what you didn't know before about how great His love is. Sometimes I ponder on why God bothered to raise people from the dead, to even promise the resurrection in the end, that all may have eternal life. Well, couldn't love you if you were dead. So He raised you to life to love you. And so in response, the people of God confess our need for the love of God, our need for His word to even hold creation together. Where God profess, we confess. We confess our need. Lord, I need Your love. Lord, I want to believe everything that You say about who You are. Have you listened to the word of God and do you believe it? Your reading and believing of the Bible will inform you how to pray and how to speak to God. Not only that, but who is this God? What is He like? Who is this God that you're praying to? That you will be informed from your reading and believing in the Bible. Read through Genesis, you will see the generous grace of God. Read through Exodus, you will see the power of God. Read through Judges, you will see the patience of God. Read through the Romans, you will see the justice of God. Read through the Gospel of John, you will see the light and the revelation of God. Read through the Psalms, you will see the passion of God. Read through the Epistles, you will see the wisdom of God. Read through the whole Bible, you will see your God, who He is speaking to you. Have you listened? Have you listened? Have you believed? And put it to prayer. Put it to prayer. And put it as a prayer of thanksgiving so that others may believe. A thanksgiving prayer is also a confessional prayer. In my ministry context, I work with a lot of young people. And as children that they are raised to say, "Thank you, Jesus." Which is a good thing to say. And as they grow, as they mature into, I don't know, high school age, etc., and I challenge them to say more than just thank you. Say something about God that other than just thank you. And then what would you say? Say more than just thank you. How does your heart cry out to the Lord? What is the content in your heart? Pour it out. And let His holiness wash over you. So that as you pray, you're not just praying like in psychology we would call it cathartic. Like just venting things out. No, as you pray, you are asking the Spirit's guidance to assist you in what to ask, how to pray. Because as the word of the Lord says, the word is like a sword, the word of God. Divides bone and marrow as an analogy for soul and spirit. The things that belong to God and how to pray turn to the Lord. And then the things of the soul, what are our own brokenness or sinfulness. And while those both things are so real, when we come before the Lord, we must shed away the other and embrace what only the Lord in His purest goodness would bestow on us. And so in the process of prayer, it's not just throwing things out, but asking the Lord guide us in what to ask for, what to receive. If we don't know what to receive, how can we receive it when God gives it? It's like you wouldn't even recognize it. Oh, I encourage you, say more than thank you to the Lord. Yes, on Thanksgiving, say thanks. Listen and believe. I trust that by the expression of Jesus, that is a proper, appropriate way, a Christly way even, to show appreciation for the Lord. And I trust that the Lord will be pleased with that. Keep a fresh living faith. Keep a fresh living faith. Continue, no matter your age, no matter your season of life, continue to listen to God. It is an infinite source of living water gushing out. And when you live on the fresh living faith, you will have new discovery about God and new way to thank the Lord. Keep on listening and keep on praying to God in thanksgiving. Christians cannot live in the spirit by a dead, bygone faith. Dead water faith is nasty, ugly, filthy. Dead water faith would be full of bacteria, smells foul, unhealthy altogether. Live by fresh water faith. Missional prayers grow out of fresh living water. Live your life by fresh living faith, like fresh water, clean and clear as crystal, sparkling in the sunlight, refreshing to drink, life-giving. Like immediate invigorate your physical body and your spirit and your soul like relief. Fresh water faith, fresh living faith. It does not sit still, it does not stay stagnant, does not attract insects or dead things. In fact, all creatures pass by fresh living water will just take a drink and come by and just be rejuvenated. Do you have that fresh living faith? Continually drawing and listening to God. I wonder what God will say to me this day, this season, this month, this chapter of my life. Of all things in the Bible, from the book of Lamentations, it says, great is your faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. Morning to morning, new mercies. There's new revelation in God no matter what season of life you're in. When you live by Christ with fresh living faith, you will discover new praises, new ways to praise the Lord, new ways to thank God, new things about God you didn't know before that you can now give praise and thank God for. I started preaching 20 years ago, in fact, in this context right here from this church. And every time I enter my study, when I pray, and I say, Lord, I don't know what to say. You tell me what to say. In 20 years, I have never experienced even once I didn't know what to exegete, what to say from Scripture. If I don't pray, I get stuck. I think the phrase would be a writer's block, get stuck. But in 20 years in my prayer, not even once, I didn't know what to say. And so from John 14, Jesus says, as long as you love me and obey me, I will give you the Holy Spirit who will teach and remind everything I've said to you. When I saw that phrase, I believed in it. The Bible said it, I believed it. That's it. That's the end. That's the end of the matter. And I have lived the experience to find that out. It's, for me, it's such a joy, it's such a glory. In that way, I can say, yes, I have seen the glory of God. And I'm very thankful. This Thanksgiving, I encourage you, confess your trust in God from what God Himself has already spoken of Himself. Read into the text. Listen in the Spirit. Be devoted to prayer. Confess openly even, that others may believe. If I could read for you one more time, our text today, John chapter 11. Nope, not
this text. Nope, not this one either. Nope. Thank you. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stones, and Jesus lifted his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." Please join me in a moment of prayer together. Lord Jesus, you are our magnificent Lord. If it weren't for you revealing yourself to us, we would never know you. And Lord, my heart longs for a greater revelation of you because the world needs you. We need you. And the people around ourselves need you. And so, Lord, I ask that your will be done, that your grace and your mercy will wash over those who are just waiting, seeking, and needing you. Lord Jesus, I pray and ask that you enable our faith, grow our listening ear, not so much that we need a bigger ear, but we need a bigger heart for you. Enlarge our hearts to receive more from listening to you, and give us the faith necessary to believe, to believe perhaps even the unbelievable about you. Forgive us in the times that we doubt, that we fail to trust, that we fail to trust ourselves to you. Lord Jesus, in this way I ask that you renew us in our spirit. Guide us to draw near to you. And Lord, I pray and ask that your will be done. While you are the God who performs signs and wonders, guide us to trust in you even before seeing them, to trust that you will do as you please. And Lord, I'm so thankful for this because your will to us is good. That your will is not to hurt us or to harm us. And we confess and say, Father, based on what you have said, you are our Father in heaven, and you are good. You are meant to do good for us. Thank you for this revelation, that our hearts may come to know you. Lord, I pray for those of us who may be stuck or just in our hearts, just stuck at a place, not knowing how to come to you. And Father, I ask very simply just for your Holy Spirit to be there, to guide, to comfort, and to embolden. Grant us a greater courage we did not have in ourselves to draw near to you. Oh, sinners have no business approaching the throne of God. But you chose to forgive us and wash us new. Draw us near, O God, by the grace of Father in heaven and the work of Jesus Christ, your Son. And because the Holy Spirit is with us, thank you. So in all this, we thank you. We pray together in the name of Jesus Christ.